A reading from Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. A reading from Deuteronomy chapter 32. Is not this laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine, and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants, when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, where are their gods? The rock in which they take refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering. Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and swear as I live forever. If I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries and will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired heads of the enemy. Rejoice with him, O heavens, bow down to him, all gods, for he avenges the blood of his children and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Whether we encounter any kind of crisis, whether it's something personal like the death of a loved one, or something more wide scale like a pandemic, we're often met with the shock of the moment, causing us to ask, why me? No one likes the unsettling feeling crisis brings. It may cause us to doubt God, or even if he actually loves us as much as, or to question if he actually loves us as much as he says he does. Because if he did, then he would have prevented this or that from happening. But God's job isn't to make you happy. God's job isn't to move mountains to make sure you remain comfortable, never experiencing any kind of pain, emotional, physical, or spiritual. Well, certainly that was God's intention at creation, creating the world to be good and perfect, having an absence of suffering, sin, and death. Adam and Eve were blessed with this existence, but soon fell into sin, introducing sin to the whole world. And as we all know, the wages of sin is death. And that includes our sin too. We bring death upon ourselves because our incessant desire for sin is so strong. So the unsettled feelings of crisis and sin are because of us, not God. Though God certainly allows for death, misery, crisis, and suffering to happen, our reading from Deuteronomy 32 indicates that all things happen at the hand of God. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. That's hard to accept. It's true, but it hurts. I don't like it as much as the next person. But it's not as if this was God's intended plan and design for our lives. And it's important to remember that God isn't active in evil, but rather permits the effects of sin to come to hard-hearted sinners. But the graciousness of God in all this is that He uses our pains, our sufferings, and sorrows for our good. Romans 8:28 says, "For those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." And even though our sin has brought times of crisis upon ourselves, He uses suffering for opportunities for faith to be strengthened in Him. He uses our pain for our good, to show us our sins, leading us to realize our need for a Savior. He uses our self-inflicted wounds, which leads to death, for life. But in times of crisis, when we experience hardships, our default mode as humans is whining. We do it all the time. As Christians, we whine about the effects of sin because we become so frustrated with the broken situations before us. And rightly so, because our sin leads us to a broken world which cannot be fixed by any amount of human reason or strength. But whining doesn't do any good. Instead of whining, try lamenting. Lamenting is crying out to God. It's a godly reaction to moments of crisis. The difference between lamenting and whining can be seen in the Psalms. Psalm 43, which was read responsively tonight, is an example of lament. The psalmist expresses a frustration with a situation at hand, that the ungodly are coming against the psalmist and is suffering at their hands, causing the soul to be downtrodden and depressed, because God is seemingly absent from the psalmist's moment of crisis. However, lament ultimately places responsibility for the situation back into the capable hands of God. The psalmist ends with, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." Harold Sankbell, in his book Christ and Calamity, describes lamenting like this: "These Psalms of Lament teach us how to file a complaint with God. And complaining isn't whining. If you've ever read your medical records, you'll know that medical complaints are simply the physical symptoms of your distress. When you go to your doctor, you're not whining. You're just explaining where you hurt. You list your complaints because you know your condition should receive attention. It may not go away. Some symptoms may remain. But you've gone to someone who can do something about it." Likewise, lamenting is calling God's attention to what He already knows. Then you're hurting, and it's no fun. Your miserable situation forces you to acknowledge that you aren't a self-made person. You depend on God for your very life. But sometimes it takes a calamity to impress that dependence upon you and bring you to the point of lament. That lament is a cry of faith. So lamenting is telling God where you hurt. Then he addresses your crisis as he sees fit. Sometimes he allows the suffering to remain, making it seem to us that he has just ignored us or doesn't care for us. But in these times, it's important to rely upon the word of God and not upon our own subjective experiences. Because God's perspective on human suffering is not revealed in our sufferings, not in the death of a loved one, or not in any pain that sin causes us. Instead, God's perspective on human suffering is revealed in the suffering of Jesus on the cross. Jesus, God incarnate, took on human flesh and subjected himself to the sinful human experience, suffering in flesh, body, soul, and mind, even speaking a psalm of lament from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He became abandoned, so you don't have to be. He cried out and lamented to his Father, showing him how to heal a broken humanity. All this so he may bring us to God, in whom is all our hope. Because Jesus assumed all this to himself, you can rest assured that you have a loving Father who loves to hear your laments. He doesn't abandon you to your laments and complaints, just like he doesn't abandon Jesus and his complaints on the cross and in the grave. But rather, the Father lifted the Son from his suffering and brought him to himself. Because of Jesus' suffering, he becomes your advocate to the Father in your suffering. You're never abandoned in your suffering because of Christ. When you cry out and lament your suffering, pointing out to your Father where you hurt, yet trust in God's love and the cross of Jesus, you can be confident, asking him to sustain you through your days with hope. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.